Welcome back to the Unfair Advantage mini podcast. I am excited to be joined again today by Cody Royal, and we're going to talk a little bit about disruption because we've both had some interesting experiences in the last week, both of which made the news. So the first was the disruption of the Toronto Raptors game by fire and a speaker. And Cody, you have more detail on the other one.
Yeah, well, it was funny because I was sitting in the crowd during the Raptors game there, and so I experienced that one, and it was hilarious because the day before I'd been watching an Aussie Rules game, an AFL game in Australia, where the fire alarm went off and they evacuated half the grandstand, and the players were, you know, we play on a cricket-sized field, so you know, players were all stood in the middle of the ground wondering what this fire alarm was. And so yeah, within 2 days there were two major sporting events disrupted by fire alarm, and then I had to go out and play the rest of the game.
Yeah, it's pretty wild to have those two things happen back to back. And rather than talk about the events themselves, I think what's maybe more relevant is talking about like how do teams deal with that kind of disruption. And so maybe to start, like I'm curious, even from your own experience as a head coach, obviously it's probably unlikely you've had some fire alarm pulled in the middle of a game, but if it's happened, it would be cool to hear about. And if it hasn't, maybe talk a little bit about some disruption you've experienced.
No, I haven't had that happen. So, I mean, this is a really interesting one for coaches because you are consistently trying to develop resilience skills in your players, subliminally. Through the tasks that you're putting them through, you can play around with even some of the operations, some of your planning to put them in these scenarios that when something like this does happen, that they have innate abilities to be able to navigate, a period of downtime, for instance, like your players went through. So one, uncertainty, the players shook hands with the opposition before they walked off the first time. So they, at that time, I think, thought the game was done and it was being called. And they wouldn't be back. And then all of a sudden, they've come play the rest of the game, no fans. One thing that comes to mind is Eddie Jones has talked about this a lot with how he's been trying to play around with, England's team over the years. And they would do things like they would arrive an hour and a half before games deliberately to plan for when they're playing the World Cup in Japan and what happens if there's a traffic jam and you didn't have the full 2 or 3 hours to prepare and you only had the hour and a half. And so they would practice that up front. And so from a coaching perspective, my mind always goes to what are those scenarios that we're already putting them in through the practice environment, through our operations to prepare them for situations like this? Because once you get into the actual situation, it still becomes a bit of a shit show, but you're better off having some skills rather than none.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting perspective to get your take as a coach. And I think it makes sense. I think thinking about how you respond to those events and engage some resilience and manage the uncertainty is important. I can tell you from my perspective, there were sort of three things that ran across my mind. So the first was actually the physical health of the players, just because, you've been playing at a certain intensity and now you're taking a break. And so there's some ambiguity about how long that break might be and what does that mean for, getting back up physically and engaging. The second one that I thought about was sort of how do you balance taking a mental break and actually using the time to restore versus staying focused. And I don't think there's a right answer. Obviously don't want people, drifting into the next day and thinking about, a nice bath they're going to take when they get home or whatever. But there is some element of like letting the guard down and restoring and recharging and using that time effectively to actually get some energy back and get some focus back for the remaining, I think it was 28 minutes at that point or so that we had left. And so I think that was kind of an interesting question. And then the third thing that came to my mind that it reminded me of, And it only came to me because we used to practice it a lot when I was a football coach. This was the first experience I think I can remember in basketball that I've been involved in where there was such a stark, sudden change. So in football, American football, you practice a lot, like what happens when you turn the ball over? And how does that change momentum or the dynamic of the game in that particular moment? How do you go from, you know, resting on the sideline as a defensive player to being ready to play? And in basketball, the back and forth is sort of so fluid that you don't really experience such an abrupt stop, except for the end of a quarter. And so to have it have an abrupt stop of like 4.5 minutes left reminded me a little bit of the dynamic in football where there's concern about losing momentum. There's concern about, recovering. And so I just thought that was kind of an interesting experience to have in the moment too, where you have a game that's like so fluid and ongoing usually that just pauses in a way that there's no other way to prepare for it almost.
Mm-hmm. Let me take it a little bit broader. Do you think at a societal level that we have learned through the last couple of years to navigate some of these challenges and to think a little bit more abstract about how to deal with them, even when they are quite stark and quite different? Or do you think we as a people in general, basketball players or football players or coaches or psychologists, do you think we've done a good job at training ourselves to deal with situations like this just because they've been thrust upon us in the last couple of years?
It's a really interesting question. I guess my first thought is it's kind of a double-edged sword. So yes, because we've all become pretty expert at navigating uncertainty and ambiguity in the last couple of years. The other side of that is I think people are still so depleted energy-wise that to have continuous disruptions, even of the smallest variety, smaller than say pausing a basketball game, you know, running a few minutes late, for example, I think those things still tax us in ways that we're not fully like attuned to yet. Because I know, you know, the world is sort of coming out of the pandemic, but in many ways, the pandemic isn't quite over and the uncertainty about the pandemic isn't over either. And so, I think cognitively and abstractly, yeah, there's probably some greater kind of like recognition of how to manage that. And probably in the grand scheme of things, both of these pauses feel minuscule relevant to the other pauses we've had in the last couple of years. And yet the emotional resources and energetic resources to manage that pause, I think are depleted in a way that still might make it more challenging to respond. But that's off the top of my head. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's, you know, the minuscule changes that you're talking about now, you know, pausing a game, for instance, it feels like we're more prepared, but it also feels like pressing on scar tissue. And so everything comes back up with it. So everything over the last couple of years that you've been dealing with, all these minuscule challenges that have been thrown our way, the ambiguity, the uncertainty, the not knowing. It feels like every time one small thing comes up, it just brings the wave of all of it back. And I agree that has been depleting in a way that we probably might not ever understand. And so trying to navigate that from that state of starting in depletion is tough. And it's interesting that I've been talking a lot about that from a coaching perspective in terms of we are starting from a state of depletion and what that does to us and what that does to our cognitive resources in particular. But that same phenomenon is true, I think, from a societal level, as you pointed out.
Oh, for sure. And so, I mean, it actually brings me back to the coach you referenced earlier on when you were sort of talking about preparing for these things that you can't really anticipate. Like you try to manufacture situations where you have to deal with them. From your experience as a coach, like how helpful has doing something like that been?
It's hard to tell. And again, you're doing it indirectly and you're trying to layer in subliminal skills that you know, potentially whether the players or the staff know that they're utilizing those skills or not, that they still become helpful. And so you're trying to round the edges really for people. And so that when there are these occurrences where you're late or there's a fire alarm, that they have something in the bank rather than nothing. And I don't know. I'd be curious to see how far you can extrapolate that, because, you know, I think people perceive that doing one thing, you know, in a, having a pause in a basketball game might help them develop skills that can help them in another area of their life, where a pause is also, you know, quite drastic. I don't know, like a pause in a career or something like that. I'd be curious to know whether it actually does help them or not. I think we perceive that those things can be dealt with using the same skills and abilities and structures. But yeah, it's hard to tell. And then there's obviously individual nuances to that as well, in terms of what disrupts people. And I would hope that we are succeeding in rounding those edges for people more so than making them fully able to deal with the situation.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I guess to me, it reminds me of some of Lisa Feldman Barrett's work and making the world a bit more predictable. I don't know that you can prepare for everything, but I think having these experiences where you are tasked with engaging some different skills than you're typically asked to engage with at practice, say, I think can be good. And I think, you know, I like the term rounding the edges. I think it makes sense to think of it that way, but I really like how you explained how you felt it would work, you know, and this idea that you gotta maybe be a bit more like explicit about it and help with some of the transfer between situations, you know, so you can't just, I don't think this would be a thing that you could just show up, say, an hour and a half before a game instead of 3 hours and not explain to anyone why you were doing it and then hope that the skills transferred. I think you would have to actually tell people, this is what we're doing. Here's how I think you can use these skills, and sort of scaffold and help people round the edges versus kind of like surprise and cut people free and hope that they figure it out. And I think in ways, if I'm thinking about, you know, the scenario we were exposed to last week, I can find times where maybe bits of preparation for the unexpected helped play that out.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the important thing here is that it might only be a perception, and that perception might be okay. You know, my mind goes to how people rationalize the way that they are, and they often refer to their childhood as shaping the way that they are now. So yes, some of that is true, but most of that is perception, that a perceived event or a perceived scenario in their life has developed their skill, their resilience, their attraction to money, their attraction to relationships, or they've had negative relationships, and so that has continued on. Most of that is an extrapolation of that event to prepare them for that skill. And so it's kind of the same idea here, where, yeah, it might have been a pause in some completely distant area of their life. If they think they've developed skills and resilience through that and perceive that they can utilize that experience when a basketball game, you know, when a speaker catches fire, that can be okay. That can be that rounding of the edges. And again, if that perception that they deem is true and is helpful, that's fine.